Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Without further ado, we saw Twitter, we saw Instagram. You're all waiting for it. But I'm a humble man. I'm a compassionate man. As Rob Parker likes to say, I'm a man of the cloth. So while I could say, I told you so. I told you so way back in August. I won't. While I could say, of the 32 people at Fox Sports Radio to pick the Super Bowl participants, I was one of five to get it right and the only one who never played or worked in the NFL. But I won't. I could talk about urinating mice. And Mexico, and how 10 years of missed predictions about Tom Brady, but I won't.
I think I'm moving to Mexico.
Instead, I'll just say this. Let it breathe. I got more, Alex. I want to say one more thing. I want to say one more thing, Alex. I want to say this. Nike's on my feet, to be more specific. Jordan's on my feet. Rob Parker, I'm looking in my Venmo. I'm even checking Cash App. I don't see any recent deposits, any recent transactions. I'm waiting. The floor is yours, Mr. Parker.
You will get
Tom
yours. I'm
Brady,
a man of my word. When I bet, I don't back out or use an excuse. So you'll get your bet. So don't worry about it. That's my word is bond.
Oh, I believe you.
You don't have to worry about that.
You know, I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying
it doesn't work like that.
I didn't even say Tom Brady and the Buccaneers beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs beat Josh Allen and the Bills for a Chiefs-Buccaneers Super Bowl. And the story of this segment is Tom Brady. But I'm going to turn it over to you, Rob.
Yeah, well, it's typical Tom Brady. Nothing's changed in my mind. It actually reinforced what I've been saying forever, that Tom Brady continues to be the luckiest of all time. And it doesn't mean that he didn't make any plays or he didn't play well at some point, but he's lucky. Things have always seemed to work out for him, dating back to the start of him as an NFL player with the tuck rule and when he fumbled the ball. It's just always seemed to work. Yesterday I looked and I saw a white Jameis Winston in the second half throwing picks like they were going out of style, or more like a Brad Johnson with a superior defense that made plays, that made on a day Aaron Rodgers needed to be great. He was good, but not great. Their defense was better. And in those moments, it was able to shut him down and win the game. But again, the numbers as I look, and Brady, when I say he's lucky, 3-1 in playoff games where he's had three interceptions or more. Nobody would have that record. I mean, it's unheard of. Because when you give up the turnover battle and when you give the other team the ball, you're most of the time going to lose. I looked at him and I also saw like a Drew Brees in that second half, an aging quarterback who can't get the ball to the people, who basically set up the team. The Packers weren't able to cash in, but that's what I saw. And Tom Brady gets another trip to the Super Bowl. And the one time, and when people say, oh, you can't get many, there was one time I thought Tom Brady had something going. And that was with the 18-0 Patriots. That's when I thought, okay, if this guy can complete that, Randy Moss, the numbers, 50 touchdowns, that was the one year I really was like, okay, maybe Brady has something going here. But the defense didn't bail him out that day. That team averaged 35 points. Brady scored 14. Wasn't enough. And the defense wasn't able to stop Eli at the end, and they wind up losing. Tom Brady's career continues to be about defensive stops. I remember the Atlanta game, 28-3. Never scored again. The defense gave him an opportunity. That's what I see all the time, all over the place. I saw the last Super Bowl Tom Brady won. No touchdowns, one pick, a fumble. They stopped a fifth greatest offense ever. Held them to 3 points on an 89-yard field goal. That was it. Brady didn't do much, but he got the win. And I just asked myself, if this was any other quarterback, if this was Jameis Winston yesterday in Green Bay, and he had a 73 quarterback rating, he completed 55% of his passes, he had 3 second-half picks, the headline would not read, Jameis Winston and Bucks go to Super Bowl. It would read, Bucks defense leads them to Super Bowl. Tom Brady always gets the top billing, whether he plays well or not. He played fine in the first half. He played good in the first half. He played terrible in the second half, but it doesn't matter. The defense bailed him out, and people who want to celebrate Tom Brady, that's fine. I just want people to know, I'm a rare breed in the business because I'm not a jock sniffer. I'm not one of these guys that worship athletes, and I'm not a fanboy. I'm going to call it the way I see it. No matter how much fandom or whatever people got their rooting interests, I slept like a baby last night. It doesn't matter to me who wins or loses. It doesn't. Other than my own personal gain and bets that I had. But I don't root for anybody, whether people want to believe it or not. I'm not that guy. I never grew up as a Packers fan or Aaron Rodgers fan. I grew up as a Jets fan in New York as a kid. And I haven't been a sports fan since I started as a reporter at the Daily News in New York in 1986. So this was par for the course. It is what Brady has made his career and his myth on. And that's what we saw yesterday. He got another trip, another defensive situation for him to bail him out on a bad second half. And so there we go. He's on his way.
Stop it! That is the biggest load of hogwash, of poppycock, of balderdash, of hooey that I've heard in the last 2, 3, 4 years. Rob Parker, the load, the luck, that's old, man, is played out. The dude has won 6 Super Bowls. He's been to 10. There is only one franchise in the entire NFL that has been to more Super Bowls than Tom Brady. Of one franchise, not player. And guess which franchise that is? New England, where he went to 10 of them. 10 of their 11 Super Bowls. My point is this. You can get lucky once. You can get lucky twice. You can get lucky 3 times, but you don't get lucky time after time after time, year after year after year. We don't say Tim Duncan was lucky, Kareem and Magic were lucky, Jordan was lucky. We don't say Derek Jeter was lucky. We never say the greatest winners in a sport are lucky, and we will not begin that today. Tom Brady is a winner. That's what you saw yesterday. You saw one quarterback who's a winner and one who ain't. One who can win here and there, but he doesn't come up big when you need him to like Tom Brady. He doesn't inspire his teammates like Tom Brady. Let me hear what Bruce Arians said about Brady after the game.
This trophy, the belief he gave everybody on this organization that this could be done. It only took one man.
One man. You like to mock the intangibles. Leadership, savvy, poise, clutch gene. Making others believe, inspiring your teammates, relatability, football IQ, always making the big play. Yes, Tom Brady struggled in the second half. But you know what? He came up big in the first half. Huge. Game was over. He capitalized when he got the opportunity. When Green Bay turned it over, 14 points off two turnovers. The other man, Aaron Rodgers, he couldn't capitalize. Three turnovers, heck, they were like punts. They were all deep in Packer territory, and he couldn't capitalize. You knew Rodgers was going three and out anyway. 6 points off three Packer turnovers or Tampa Bay turnovers. That's the difference. Joe Montana, intangibles. Tom Brady, intangibles. So you can poo-poo it all you want. And you're right. You're darn skippy. It's about Tom Brady instead of if it was Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston don't have six Super Bowls. Yeah, it's going to be different. It's called a track record, a resume. And it's undeniable. It's undeniable that this dude is the GOAT.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rob, we'll stay with the NFL, but, you know, there's obviously news outside of the playoffs. And one of them is that, you know, Detroit, now they got a new front office, new coach in Robert Saleh. And very soon they're going to have a new quarterback as they have mutually agreed with Matthew Stafford to trade.
Who'd you say their new coach was?
Sorry. I'm thinking
Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell. Yeah, right. How could I forget Dan Campbell, right?
Right.
The chewing of the kneecaps and all that. But my bad. But what do you think? I mean, you've labeled Matt Stafford Stat Padford. Do you think, because we've talked about, he's got Hall of Fame numbers. I would definitely say he's not a Hall of Famer right now. But do you think he is a really good quarterback and that he'll go somewhere, maybe it's San Francisco, maybe it's Indianapolis, you know, that he'll go somewhere and, you know, start to win?
I'm not convinced of it. I've watched him from his very first game. For most of his career, obviously not the last 4 or 5 years because I live in L.A. now, but right. But for the first seven of his years after being drafted, I was in Detroit, covered the Lions every week. And I'm not just convinced. I mean, 12 years without a playoff win, and you don't have to be perfect or have the perfect team. You could still, on your talent, win a game sometimes. You know, like you could just pull it out. They were in Dallas in a playoff game. They got a call that they didn't like. Still got the ball back with 2.5 minutes, couple of timeouts. Had a chance to, like, drive them down the field and win the game. Didn't happen. There was another game where they had a chance to beat the Packers on the last game or the game, I think it's the last game of the year, at home, Ford Field. If they win the game, they get home field, you know, they win the division, which they've never done. They've never won the division since they turned it over to the North, you know, the NFC North. They've never won it. And they would have had a bye and a home playoff game. Couldn't win that game. So there have been moments and situations where I thought, well, he could bust through or break through, and it just didn't happen. That doesn't mean he can't go somewhere and be better than he has been or play for somebody and win a game playoff game or two. I'm not saying he can't win a game, depending on the circumstance, but I think the Lions are doing the right thing. I think after 12 years, this guy was a first overall pick. Calvin Johnson came. Ndamukong Suh came. They have some players. You can't say he didn't have anybody. Those right there are two really, really good players who were drafted high during the time he was there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, I think the Lions are doing the right thing and moving on. If you want to move forward with the franchise, you just have to.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're doing the right thing. I'm really eager to see, though, what he can do. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of winning, we've seen him put up great numbers. And he's actually had a lot of comebacks, too. You know, but I'm looking forward to seeing can he win. Because, Rob, in this league, the quarterbacks that are upper echelon, the other quarterbacks that put up Matt Stafford-type numbers or greater, they win. They might not win a Super Bowl, but they win more than not. They get their teams to the playoffs on a somewhat regular basis.
I'll give you a perfect example is Matt Ryan, okay? He hadn't won, but he got a team to the Super Bowl. He won an MVP. I covered his very first game. He threw a touchdown on his very first pass against the Lions in Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. Like, so I think it'll be there's something to think about. I mean, Baker Mayfield, not that he's the only reason, but he's gotten the Nets or the Browns. I'm watching this Nets game too. Browns to the playoffs. And we just watched Buffalo, Josh Allen. That was a bad team for a long time. He got them to the playoffs, to the AFC Championship game. Generally, the top quarterbacks win on a somewhat regular basis. So, look, if he goes to Indianapolis, to San Francisco, it'll be interesting to see what he can do. Wouldn't it be interesting to see Jimmy G, too, speaking of quarterbacks moving around, back in New England, if that would happen?
Yeah, that would really be interesting. And to think where he has gone in 2 years, where they were at the Super Bowl and looked like they were going to win a Super Bowl. Think about the end of that game. They had the lead
up with 8 minutes, Rob.
8 minutes to go, right. And they went from that to him being run out of San Francisco.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
And I see his flaws. I think we all see his flaws, but I do think it's a little overblown. You know what I'm saying? Like, people talk about this dude like he's, you know, darn near garbage. And I'm like, hold on, look at the record. He wins. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but I just think he's been criticized a little stronger than he deserves.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Get into the Green Bay Packers and whether or not that play or that play call by Matt LaFleur will go down in infamy as one of the worst calls we've seen in sports. There's a lot of bad ones, but it's a bad one right there.
Yeah, Rob, I don't know if you – did you bring up the analytics yet?
I don't care about the analytics because
– No, I don't either, but I'm just saying this is why he did it. Analytics said they had a 10% chance of winning if they kicked the field goal and a 9% chance. Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong. 9% chance of winning if they went for the touchdown.
That's not
now
big
you
enough.
And I don't care what the percentage.
No, I'm just saying that doesn't even. If you told me it was seriously, you figured it out.
45%.
Yes, or you if you came up with some number, Chris, that you could maybe just. I don't believe in it at all. But I'm saying 9 and 10% is not good enough. Not when the Green Bay Packers, for all their struggles yesterday, had in the red zone 80% of cashing in for a touchdown, Chris, this past year was the best mark since 2000, since in 20 years in the NFL. I'm sorry. You got to go with that play on the fourth down. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. but there's no way you could kick a field goal there.
We got sound from LaFleur, who to me, I'm just speculating, looked like he knew he had made a mistake. Here he is.
What went into the decision to kick the field goal there on 4th and 8, and do you regret that in hindsight?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? It was just the circumstances of having 3 shots, coming away with no yards, and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So,
all right, there's LaFleur.
So what? So what? So you lose by 5 points?
You
got
to get a touchdown either way.
It doesn't matter.
I mean,
right.
That was a horrible. Now, I disagree. I don't think it was as bad as the Seattle call to throw the ball instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, I do.
Because that was more of a sure thing.
Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, I would agree with that from the standpoint of this. That if you remember watching that game, and I don't remember who was doing it, the announcers, it might have been NBC, and they said that New England should let them score. Do you know that? Like they were saying the defense should let them score so they could get the ball back. Right. That they shouldn't put up a fight. Just let them walk in the end zone and they throw the ball. That was almost positive. I remember hearing that.
Yeah, I thought that was the worst call I've ever seen. Obviously cost them a Super Bowl. The stakes were even higher too. But this was a horrible call. There is no way. No way you make that call, because the bottom line is you got to score a touchdown anyway. Anyway, it's not like I've made it so I only have to kick a field goal. I still have to score, and I'm putting the ball in the hands of Tom Brady, Rob. I'm not putting the hands in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo or some other, you know, Baker Mayfield. Matt Ryan, some other quarterback, I'm putting it in the hands of Tom Brady. But all that said, Rob, I'm going to say this, because there are some people saying that call and Matt LaFleur cost Aaron Rodgers the Super Bowl. Hogwash. For as bad as that call was, and it was horrible, Aaron Rodgers has no one to blame but himself. Now, he played a good game. But I don't want to hear this talk of, oh, it was LaFleur's fault. Oh, it was, you know, the defense's fault. They came up with 3 turnovers. Oh, it was, you know, Aaron Jones's fault for the fumble. Stop it. All right. Aaron Rodgers was a big part of the problem. And here's why. First of all, on 3rd down, Aaron Rodgers should have ran for it like Rod Woodson said. What was he doing? He's a good runner. He's athletic. Why didn't he run into this? At the very least, he would have got to the 1 or 2 yard line. And then they probably would have went for it. So that's on him. And then I totally agree with Rod, too. And I haven't heard a lot of people say this. That's why I asked him. Aaron Rodgers should have raised Kane on that sideline. And I don't think he would have had to, but he should have gone over to LaFleur and be like, hold up. And if it needed a long conversation, call a timeout. Because you had 3. You would have had 2 left plus the 2-minute warning. Talk that you are Aaron freaking Rodgers. You're the MVP. You're a first ballot Hall of Famer. You're an all-time great. You got a chance to go to the Super Bowl, which is what everybody's been hanging over your head for the last 10 years, and you're going to leave it in his hands? You should have went and said something. You should have fought to be able to run that play. And then, I guess LaFleur didn't trust him because he was 4 of 11 in the 4th quarter. He was 2 of 9 in the red zone. All that regular season red zone stuff is fine. He was 2 of 9 in the red zone in this game. So Aaron Rodgers is not blameless. Aaron Rodgers had the number 1 seed, which he's been dying to get. He had a home game at Lambeau Field, which has got to be, if not the greatest home court, home field advantage in sports, certainly one of them. It's freezing out there. They're playing a team from Florida, and his opponent got a 43-year-old quarterback, and you got 2 backup safeties. Taylor Heinicke, Rob, we talked about it. Taylor Heinicke had made that defense look like Swiss cheese. And Aaron Rodgers did not capitalize. I know Tom Brady was bad in the second half, but you know what? He capitalized. Two turnovers, 14 points for the Bucs. Rodgers gets three turnovers, 6 points. So I'm with it. That call was horrendous. But Aaron Rodgers cannot sit here, and anybody defending him cannot sit here and act like he's blameless. He is not.
He played good. He needed to play great. They didn't have the greatest field position on those turnovers, but it doesn't matter. They needed to get more points. Yeah. So there's no doubt about it. And, I mean, the numbers, he almost had, what do you have, 380 yards? I mean, you could look at some of those. He had to come back. They were down 28-10 in the third quarter. So you're playing in a hole. That touchdown at the end of the first half, that was the backbreaker right there.
Right.
It was also a hold on the interception. If you look at the video close, I don't know if you watched it that closely, but there was an obvious hole that didn't get called, but it didn't matter. They needed to not give up a touchdown in that situation. I think if they don't give up a touchdown, there's a way better chance that they would have been able. He needed to be great, and he wasn't great. He was just good. Had a passer rating over 100, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Most of the time, that's going to get the job done. He needed another touchdown or maybe a touchdown and a field goal in those two other, you know, those three interceptions or whatever, or opportunities. And the last one, I still think you got to give that guy a shot. I'd rather lose with that than doing what they did. The idea or the hope that you're going to get another turnover that down in that area is just not good. That's the one thing that the Bucs were able to get against the Saints. If you look at the Drew Brees' turnovers, they were in New Orleans, you know, zone and their part of the field, which made it easier. And I just didn't think that asking for a turnover or a fumble or whatever in that spot is realistic. You can't give the ball up. You got to go for it. You got enough weapons. Just go for it. And maybe it happens. Maybe they over defend, and then on the fourth down, Aaron sees that he has space and he can run in. And then you go for the two. I mean, that's really what I thought. They had a great shot. When they moved the ball all the way down the way that they moved it, I thought they had a great shot. And then all of a sudden, they didn't run it.
Totally
they had
agree.
Time to even run a play to try to get a little closer. They didn't do that. Three straight passes. I thought it was a bad way to go out to not give him a chance at throwing a pass in the end zone to try to win the game. I mean, to try to tie the game.
Yeah, with Rodgers. You said it. You said he needed to be great and he was good. That kind of seems to be the case. I mean, he wasn't good last year. Forget that second half when they were down. It was over. But in he's 1-4 now in the NFC Championship games. He's lost 4 straight now. And, Rob, we've talked about the defense didn't support him. But he didn't help it. The offense was bad. In his 4 losses in the NFC title game, they scored 22 points against Seattle in 2015. They had led the league that year with 30 points a game. They scored 21 points in 2017 against Atlanta. They had averaged 27 a game, 4th in the league. They scored 20 against San Francisco last year, which obviously was a blowout. And this year they get 26 when they averaged 32 points a game, 1st in the league. He has not delivered either. Now, even yesterday, he's gotten in these holes. Last 2 years, at least, has been his pattern. They get in a hole.
No, they were in a hole against Atlanta. If you look at all these games, from behind, it's a little easier.
But that's on him.
No, but it's a little harder,
though. That's on the defense and on him.
No, but I'm just saying it's harder to play from behind. If you could play from ahead and get a lead, it's easier. Playing from behind is not great because you become one-dimensional.
But that's his fault for getting behind to a large degree. Yeah, the defense too. But you saw what Tampa did. They marched down. They scored in their first series. That changes the whole complexion of the game.